If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to Hebrews 11:1 and then go back a couple pages to Romans 8. We're going to do two different verses today. I know I'm shocking you all, right? Normally we just have one. I just want to encourage you, if you haven't read your prayer and praise yet, I went over what the number 26 means, and it's very, very exciting. In the Hebrew, the term for God that's the most sacred term is Yahweh. And Yahweh is 26 numerical letters long. So 26, after the number 7, 26 is like one of the most amazing numbers because it literally represents God himself. It means completeness and perfection and fulfillment of his word. I mean, I could just keep going on. It's just amazing. And guess what year we're in? 2026. That is not a coincidence. The year, literally, of the Lord. How awesome is that? So we should be getting excited about what God is doing, not just in our church, but in the church as a whole. Amen? I believe this is going to be a year that just we all look back and go, wow. I don't even know what else to say, Lord, but wow, your awesomeness was so amazing this year. Amen? And when I was praying about this, I've done a series, a lot of you might recognize Praise. I've done a series on this in the past, and I was like, Lord, I don't normally repeat my series. But I feel like the Lord said, my people need to enter 2026 with praise. Yes. With praise. And if you look at the acronym up here, PRAISE stands for power released after, somebody say after, I start expecting. Power is released after I start expecting. I'm going to say that again. Power is released after I start expecting. A lot of times people expect nothing and nothing happens. And they wonder, where is God? And God is like, I'm right here. I've already sent my son. He already rose from the dead. I've given you my word, and you have no hope. You know how big hope is? I'm going to show you. Go ahead and open up your Bibles. We're going to go in Hebrews first, chapter 11. This is a very famous scripture, but I want you to listen to something here. Now, faith is. So we're about to find out what faith is. Are you ready? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is hope? Hope is expectation. Hope is not a wish. Hope is a powerful thing. It's an expectation of something that's about to happen. When you have no hope, you're lost. Have you ever met anybody before that has no hope? It's just darkness and gloom and sadness. But people who have even a spark of hope, they have something to believe for. They have something they're expecting. And 2026, I believe the Lord is saying, we need to praise in expectation of what is about to happen. Especially in your finances. There's a lot of people that are scared and nervous about all the things that are going on. But you know what? Our faith doesn't stand on the news. Did you know that? Our faith doesn't stand on the news. Our faith stands on the Word of God. And it never changes. It never changes. So we can have hope, lots and lots of hope. Why? Because we have lots and lots of stories in the Bible that lead us and guide us and direct us and show us God has always been faithful. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then what? He will be faithful today, and he will be faithful forever. There is hope right there in that little verse. But we're going to keep going. Now flip over to Romans. Go backwards. Romans 8. And we're starting in verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. Now listen to this. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. See, sometimes people miss this part. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. Hope isn't seen when they can see it. That's not hope. Hope is when you can't see it. Amen? Who hopes for what he already has? We don't do that, right? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is what hope is. Hope says, I can't see this, but I know it's coming. I know it's on the way. Has anybody ever had somebody mail them a package and they give you a call and they say, hey, there's a box on the way? Immediately, I don't care how young or how old you are, what do? Ooh, you get excited, right? And with our mail system, sometimes it doesn't arrive in the 3 to 5 day time frame. Ask my friends in California that got their Christmas present after Christmas, even though I mailed it 10 days before Christmas, you know? But that's okay. Their hope was built. And she was so cute. One of the sisters said, I just kept walking around the house going, I know there's slippers. I know there's slippers in there. I know there's slippers. She loves to give us slippers. I know there's slippers because I didn't buy slippers for myself. I know there's slippers. And she said, when I opened up the box, she said, I was so excited. I opened up and went, slippers! What was she doing? She was having hope. Hope and expectation that what she had been wanting and desiring was in the box. I have news for you. Your Heavenly Father has sent you the biggest box of things you could ever imagine by sending his Son. And in his word, he tells you all the things that you have to be hopeful for. All the things that you have to be excited about. And guess what? He's just waiting for you to open the book and find out what's inside. His word tells us that he will provide for all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Not his so-so riches, right? Not his, well, frugal riches. His glorious riches. Have you ever seen something and you went, that is glorious, right? Because there's no other word. You're just like, whoa. That's what God has in store for us for 2026. So what is our job? To praise. We need to have expectation of what's coming, because if we don't, then power isn't released. We're going to go again over some stories in the next couple weeks of power being released after there was expectation or hope that God was coming through. So your job this week is to practice this. Every morning you get up and you say, Lord, I praise you for 2026. There will be no lack. There will be no shortage. There will be more than enough so that I can give to every good work. That I will be a vessel you can flow through. Again, if you didn't read your prayer and praise, you got to read that, because it talks about we are vessels that in these last days God is pouring out his Spirit. And it tells us, I believe in Peter, and I got that wrong. James. Anyway, it tells us that we are all vessels. He created some for noble purposes and some for ignoble purposes. What does that mean? Some are made of gold, some are silver, some are wood, some are stone. But then you read the last line in that section, and it says, but if you will cleanse yourselves, you will be made for a special purpose. It doesn't limit that to gold or silver or bronze. It says any of the vessels that will cleanse themselves, they will be used for a noble purpose. I don't know about you, but in these last days, I want to be used for a special purpose, to take the gospel forward. Amen? And part of that is having finances. Why? Because you can look throughout the world right now, and whoever has the finances rules. There are some people ruling that shouldn't be ruling. You know why? Because the enemy has convinced God's people that they're supposed to be poor. So if they have no wealth, they have no authority. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's time the church says, you know what? We don't love money. We love God, and we love giving. Money doesn't rule us. We rule money so we can receive the money, so we can go out and rule the world with Jesus. Isn't it time, church family? Isn't it time? And we start that this year by walking in praise. Why? Power is released after I start expecting. When you start expecting, power is released and things begin to change. Are you excited for the next couple weeks? I know I am. Grab your tithes and offering this morning. Father, we just thank you so much right now for this powerful word. I thank you, Father, even if it's a word we've heard before, Lord, it's new every morning, just like your mercies. That we're going to learn things that we didn't learn the last time. Maybe we forgot about them. But God, I thank you for your heart for us this year. You want us to praise you. Not pout, not complain, not whine, not worry. You want us to praise. And as we praise, we shift our eyes from the things of this world heavenward. And as we praise, Father, we get our focus back to where it's supposed to be. Our hope is ignited. And then we can believe for the things in expectation that are coming. And that is when your power is released into our lives. I pray for every seed that is sown today, Father. Bless each person. Multiply that seed 100-fold. And I pray, Father, for every person in this room that they would stop seeing their income as limited. You are not limited by our income. You can bring things in from places we never imagined. Finances we might have forgotten about. Things that were supposed to be ours that the enemy stole that you're bringing back. I pray, Father, we would have expectation when we go to our mailboxes. What is God going to have in there today? And I thank you, Father. We praise you in advance for the finances that will be overflowing in our lives so our church can rise to its rightful place in this community to be a light and to be a source for the people in need. And we give you praise and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Give God a big shout this morning. Amen. Boy, while we're talking about, you know, our praises in connection to our giving, it's just a good example that we should get really loud around offering time. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's try it again. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. What an honor to serve God. Amen. And that word expectation, I love that. I mean, going into next Sunday when we talk about, you know, Vision Day next week, Brother Copeland on the Victory Network actually is doing a service tonight at EMIC. EMIC.org, and I love hearing him and what God's put in his heart for the new year. So, but for you, somebody say for me, really think about that word expectation and bring a list next week. And I'm not talking about a wish list, I'm talking about an expectation list, right? So this isn't, you know, this isn't a genie lamp, right? No, this is about what is God putting in my heart specifically to believe for spiritually, physically, financially, in every area of your life. Bring a list, and we're gonna anoint and pray and just have an awesome time kicking off the new year with Vision Day next week. So, amen. But today we want to move into a time of receiving healing. Today, I love this. You know, there's some cool things they do with AI, right? And wow, I mean, does that look real or what? How many know Jesus is the healer? Glory to God, and we're gonna minister on healing today. We're gonna teach some things on healing, and just set our hearts to receive healing from God today. Amen. Praise the Lord forevermore. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this healing service today. We might as well just use the term miracle. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we need a healing. Sometimes there might be need of a miracle. Whatever it is, no case is too difficult for you. Nothing is impossible. It's another great song they usually sing. Nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. And that's the truth. Nothing is impossible for our great God. Oh, we magnify you today, Jesus, and we thank you. We thank you for the name Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a good book that I got this year that I'll be reading is by Dr. Avery Jackson. It's called The God Prescription. It's a great one to have in your library. He actually has a broadcast on the Victory Network, and it's called the same title, The God Prescription. Avery Jackson is a neurological brain surgeon, I think is how you say it, and a spirit-filled believer, and just loves God. But how many know God uses doctors too? Doctors are people too, right? But our first, Jesus is the great physician, right? And just like he is I'm the under shepherd, he's the great big shepherd, right? So we don't want to ever tell people, don't go to the doctor. I went to the doctor yesterday. I don't go very often, but I'd had a little bit of a cold and just wanted him to check my lungs. And you pray and you address things medically if necessary, right? And it's just, I was watching Richard Roberts yesterday teaching on these very same things. And he's like, if I take two Tylenol and I say a prayer, as long as the headache goes away, I don't care how it happens. Right? Amen. So you just, and it was fun because I'm not going in there in fear or anything, right? Turned out they said I had a light bronchitis. So it gave me a couple pills and I went home and we ended up just sitting in there talking about football. Me and the doctor, because I had my Seahawks beanie on, you know, and the nurse, there was a male nurse, same thing. We just had fun talking football mostly. So while we're seeking God and getting our healing, somebody say, lighten up a bit. Don't get into fear. Amen? And I'm feeling better today. I find it comical sometimes that the devil tries to put sickness on you when you're about to preach about healing. I think it's funny, right? It's like, no. We're not going to play your game, devil, right? So he's our healer. We receive our healing. But let's look at some scriptures in the Bible. If you have your Bible, turn into 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. We're just going to read a couple stories and say a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to pray for healing today and just really receive our healing. On Saturdays in recent history, I usually start my day with checking in on the weekly Torah portion. I've got a Messianic rabbi that I watch on YouTube, and just great stuff. And then I go, without a heartbeat, I'll turn right on to Victory Network and find Gloria Copeland's Healing School. And just, I have it in my ear the whole time. I usually make a big breakfast and hanging out with the family, and I've got that going while I'm just receiving healing and a revelation and an anointing for the healing power of God, right? And it's just a great thing to be in the habit of doing, because I don't know if you've noticed, but these bodies that we have on planet Earth need maintenance, right? They are prone to issues, prone to wear and tear. You know, does anybody know anyone on planet Earth right now that's 150 years old? Right? I was studying about that. You know, we're doing our reading through the Bible again in a year. There's actually some things back there about that. So you can get involved and be, how many of it's good to be reading your Bible every day, see what's in it. Well, I was studying about Noah yesterday, like Genesis 6. And after the flood, you know, what did God put in the sky? A rainbow. Amen. And of course, the devil wants to take the very symbol of the covenant of God of forgiveness and mercy and pervert it, right? Just a side note there. But we have to recognize that's a direct attack of the devil. And if you read in Revelation, you'll see where it says there's actually a rainbow around the throne of God. So it's just really, ultimately, Satan hating God and those things, right? But specifically the rainbow in the sky. And when all the craziness happened after Cain and Abel and, you know, all that stuff, people were still living hundreds of years, right? When God told Adam and Eve, the day, if you eat that fruit on the tree that I told you, which really was Adam's tithe, really, don't touch, that tree is mine. If you eat that fruit on that day, you will surely die. And Adam was like 930 something when he died. How many know to God a day is as a thousand years? So he still died in a day. God time. But later on, as you read, it's so interesting when you're reading about ages of people. There's reasons why God puts ages of people when they die. This is not mythology. This is not fiction. People literally lived hundreds of years. Noah was, what, 500, I think, when he started building the ark. 500! Remarkable. And but back then there was no McDonald's, no, you know, processed food. There was still an envelope around this planet. When you study about the flood, if you grew up in the Northwest, anybody grew up in the Northwest, right? Especially in the Willamette Valley, right here. It does not take faith to believe it could rain 40 days and 40 nights. So this was more than a rain shower. This was the something happened in the atmosphere above, and something happened underneath the earth, and rain in the entire globe. But if you notice, after that happened, people's lifespans got shorter because there was something enveloping the earth that made it possible for people to just keep living and living and living and living. But God specifically states, if you read in Genesis, he says man's days will be 120 years. 120 years. Isn't that interesting, right? So we should all have our faith on, if you want to. I'm just saying, he said in the Word. Now, to those people, that was bad news because they were used to living hundreds of years. What do you mean 120 years? To us, it should be like, wow, really? 120 years? I have multiple family members that have, you know, and people in Ohio and that have crested triple digits. Does anybody know anyone that has gone 100 plus? Yeah. So it's not impossible, right? So long life. But the interesting thing, I just happened to pull out my phone. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gives me things to ask my phone about. Isn't that funny? Right? Because I'm not all-knowing. And I felt prompted to search on my phone the average number of sightings of rainbows around the world annually. You know what it came to? The average number of rainbows that appear globally around the world, 117. And again, it's based on where you live, that kind of thing. But globally, the average is 117, and it said like plus minus 71. Isn't it interesting, church, that every time God sees the rainbow, he thinks 120? I thought that was interesting. Because he might think from his, you got to think from his perspective sometimes, all the evil that the devil is trying to put on people to do on this planet, to, you know, violence and murder and sin and all the nutty stuff that the devil is conjuring up, God might just see that rainbow and think, well, they're not going to last beyond 120 years. And it might just comfort him to think that. They have a finish date. Evil is going to die, ultimately. But every time we see the rainbow, we should remember, my Father says I can go 120 years if I so desire. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. You can take that for whatever it's worth. But it does have to do with our health, because we have to watch how we talk about ourselves. Especially when, like, I'm 54, you know, moving on, and the devil just starts putting on you, well, you might as well start getting ready to die. Start thinking about dying now. There's more years behind you than are before you now. You've seen more Christmases in the past than you will in the future. You know what I'm saying? All these nutty thoughts that the devil tries to put on you regarding sickness or disease or life expectancy. And we just have to be willing to look at the Word of God and just say, you know what? First of all, we know heaven is at the end of all this. So life just continues. In fact, only gets better. Remember when, talking about Richard Roberts, when Oral Roberts was in the hospital toward the end of his life, and they were talking about, you know, he's going to be passing over, and he was like, you know, I can't remember the exact conversation, but he's like, it's going to be astounding what I'm about to experience. It's like, I'm not dying. I'm going to heaven, right? But I believe while we're here on planet Earth, we should be contending for everything Jesus paid for. Everything that he paid for. And healing is a big part of that. And Richard Roberts, again, I was watching a message of his, and he talked about methods God can use, whether it's a doctor, whether it's diet, How many know we could all improve probably on, I know a lot of us are doing better than some, but our diet plays a big part in our health, that type of thing. But just getting into the word, getting into faith, getting into prayer and expectancy. I love the word that Pastor Shelley brought up, the word expectancy, right? And if you, especially if you've had issues in your body that have gone on and on and on and on, you just start, quote, learning to live with it. Well, how many know we shouldn't be just accepting things that are not of God for our lives? Amen. And that's where finding what the word says about it, praying in the Holy Ghost over it, and he will show you your pathway to healing. But I believe having a healing service is a big part of that. Because there's something powerful when a bunch of believers gather together, right? And we have that corporate faith, corporate anointing, agreement. And it just literally multiplies the power of God in a room. And it can touch people. There's been many, many testimonies over the years of people receiving amazing miracles. And I would just encourage you to have, you know, teaching going on in your phone or your whatever you, however you listen. Make sure you're listening to stuff where people aren't, you know, bad-mouthing miracles and healing. Well, it might be God's will for you to not get healed. Well, that's not true. Jesus' back was laid open. And that wasn't for Steve when he gets to heaven. How many know in heaven there's no ER? There's no urgent care. There's no hospitals. Right? No. Everybody is well. Hallelujah. So somebody say, this is for now. This is for now. Amen. But 2 Kings, actually, chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And it says this. Can we turn the lights up just a hair bit so I can see my notes a little better? Thank you, Randy. Amen. It says, now Naaman, and the rabbi I was listening to, he called him Naaman. I like that. Naaman. By the way, did you know why they called Jews Jews? Who said that? Yeah. Right, yeah, because Jews are called Jews, and I just learned this recently, because the tribe of Judah, Judahites. Jesus is the line of the tribe of Judah, the whole Davidic line and all of that. I love getting little nuggets from our Jewish roots in the faith, right? Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel and waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to the mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who's in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothing. See, there's lessons to learn in these kind of stories, right? How many know you can't buy a miracle, right? It's good to bring an offering, but it's where the heart is. Amen? Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." Talk about some pressure. From Syria to Israel, right? There was a political environment going on here. So a little bit, and you read on here, and it says, "And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me.'" He thought he's picking a fight, right? "So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stood at the door of Elisha's house. I love these stories, right? And Elisha, he didn't go personally out to see him. He sent a messenger, right? He sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the place, and heal the leprosy." So we have to watch when we're seeking after a miracle, a healing of God, that we don't have a preconceived notion as to how God's going to do this. Amen. If the man doesn't himself, I mean, you go to some of these large, where it's Benny Hinn or, you know, somebody, and if someone doesn't get his hand on them, does that mean you didn't have an opportunity to receive a miracle because the man didn't touch you? That's focusing more on the man than on God. Hallelujah, right? And there's been multiple times where I've gone to a service where Kenneth Copeland, Rick Renner, Jesse Duplantis, and I wasn't seeking that, but their hands got laid on me. And I wasn't seeking that. I was coming to hear and receive from them, but in those services, Kenneth Copeland did one a few years back in Anaheim that we went to. I had never seen him do this. And it was a Saturday, and he said, "I want everybody to get in a line and walk right across the front, and I'm going to lay hands on every one of you." My whole family got laid. It was power. I mean, I was like crying. And when he laid his hand, I had a vision in my heart of this huge heart just beating and pulsating and pumping blood. I didn't know exactly what that meant, but I knew I needed some healing in my own cardiovascular system from some high blood pressure things. But I also found out later that he himself was having some issues with his heart back then. And there was also the connection as partners in the ministry. I mean, there's an anointing connection. I mean, we don't always see the entire picture. But the point is, we don't come seeking the touch of a man. But if God chooses to do that, man, go get it. Right? Hallelujah. These are wonderful things. So Naaman had that in his mind. I'm bringing all this money, all these gifts, to see the man face to face. Right? Man, when I was a younger person, I felt like if I didn't have a personal relationship with my pastor, that there's something wrong. Right? Like, I wanted face-to-face and conversations, and I did for a long time, right? But then when I got called over to New Beginnings, anybody remember New Beginnings? Right? You're not going to have a conversation with Larry Huck. Right? And he's a wonderful man, wonderful minister, but there's hundreds, thousands that come to that place. And for a while, I struggled with that. I was like, my goodness, how can I come here? I'm not going to have a relationship with the pastor. And there, in larger churches, there's usually a number of other ministers and that you connect with and all of that. But the Lord was maturing me. Remember, son, it's about me, not him. Right? And now we've been doing this. And the person that I would call pastor is George Pearson's and Terry Pearson's. You know how many times I've met them? Zero. I see them every week online, and it's more of a connection with the anointing of God that's on their life. I mean, I'm telling you, this story reminds me to get your eyes off the man and onto, you know, the God of healing. Right? Amen. And that's what Naaman was about to learn, right? So Naaman says he became furious and went away. He literally left. I mean, just think about that. You travel all that way, all those miles. You're a person of authority in Syria, right? You think you're all that. And then the man won't even come out and talk to you. I mean, you don't understand. There are Christians all over the world that get really upset. I called one day for, again, Richard Roberts. We're not going to get to all these scriptures. You can use them for your study, right? We're flowing with the Holy Spirit, right? But Richard Roberts, I called his, he has a daily prayer, live prayer broadcast, 10 o'clock every morning during the week on the Victory Channel. You can check it out for yourself, right? Well, one day I called in for prayer. And a lot of times they are backed up. I mean, you wait and you wait and you wait. Well, this particular time they picked up right away, and we, again, it was light. We laughed, you know, and I shared my prayer requests, and the lady was like, man, I appreciate your sense of humor. Because people oftentimes call us and they are not nice. Can you imagine this? Christians calling in for prayer. What did you expect, Richard to answer the phone? You know what I'm saying? Get your eyes off the man, right? And if you have to press in a little bit, I mean, goodness, how long would you wait at the ER? 6 hours sometimes. And then you may or may not get the answer that you wanted. Christians, we have to be tougher, have more of a backbone, and just be willing to persevere and get after it and not be shaken because a man didn't do what we thought they were supposed to do. And I told her, well, I appreciate, you can tell Richard if you talk to him ever, that I appreciate his sense of humor too. That's why I love this broadcast, is because he's obviously got an anointing for healing, but he's also got a great sense of humor. And I love that, right? Back to Naaman. He became furious and went away. And he said, indeed, said to myself, he will surely. So there you go. I said to myself. We have to watch what we say to ourselves, how this is going to happen. This will help us with relationships with all kinds of people. This will help me with my marriage. I said to myself, when I go talk to Shelley about this, oh, you better backpedal right now, right? Hallelujah, right? And he said, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the, he names another river, the, what does it say, the Abana and the Parfrakan and the rivers of Damascus, right, where he's from. He says, are not the rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? Can I not also wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage, right? But praise God for servants, people that will just come and tell you to your face, not be intimidated by your position and all that. So his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then if he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He came that close to missing his miracle. How many know if God tells you to do something a certain way, you better do it that way? Amen? If he tells you, go see the doctor, go see the doctor. If he tells you, let's do some fasting and prayer. If he tells you, change something in your diet. See, we have to be listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit at all times. And inquiring of him and finding his pathway for our healing. And do not be discouraged if you don't see results in 30 seconds. Right? Because some miracles are a process, some are instantaneous. And I love Gloria Copeland through the years. She would say, you didn't get that way overnight. Why would you expect it to change overnight? Now, God can do that. Instant. But a lot of miracles are gradual. And healing oftentimes is a gradual thing. And I think even in like the weight loss teachings, they'll tell people, man, if you lose weight really fast, that's not healthy. It's usually a gradual process. We had Josiah staying with us from our missionary family in Japan. Their son Josiah, he's going to college in California. He was staying with us all last week, and he's training to be a fireman. He's like an EMT and doing all this great stuff. And we started talking about the holidays. We're all snacking a little more, eating a little more. And he started talking about calorie counts. And he's talking to my son Luke he's at another church today with his friend. But he started talking about, because Luke's a college athlete, he's training for track and kind of building mass, he called it bulking up. Well, now he's trying to streamline a bit, right? And Josiah was like, well, tell me, he pulled out his app on his phone. He's like, well, what's your age? How old are you? How much do you weigh? Now, this is the number of calories that you should maximum at every day. If you want to, gradually trim up. If you want to go quick, like a pound a week, here's the number of calories. If you just want to maintain, here's the number. I said, Josiah, I am 54 and I weigh 220. And I think he said 24. I said, the gradual thing, please. Just tell me the gradual thing. It was like 2,400 calories max. And it's like, okay, I thank you. And I'm praying about, Lord, are there adjustments that you can help me? Why? Live long. Live strong. Better on my body, better on my knees, better on my heart. I mean, come on, right? So there's a lot of reasons why the Lord might prompt us to seek wisdom. Because, well, I just wanted the pastor to come and wave his hand over me and 40 pounds disappear, right? And there's been miracles. I've heard of miracles like that. Right? Glory to God is right. But amen. Somebody say, follow the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Look at Mark 6. We're just going to bounce around here for a minute before we pray. Pastor Steve, I thought this was a healing service. Why aren't you just waving your hands around over us and calling on the name of the Lord? Well, he's helping us, right? Matthew, Mark, chapter 6, verses 53. And you can take these notes, and I think we have a few more in the back if you didn't get one. But use it as a study resource and things to meditate on and chew on, right? And this isn't an exhaustive list. But this is how the Lord led me last night, right? Mark chapter 6, 53 through 56. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of, that's an interesting word, Gennesaret. I tried to get them right. And anchored there. When they had come out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. Hallelujah. We could just camp on some of these things, right? He ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. So immediately when the people saw this is Jesus, their first thought was, find as many sick people as you can and bring him. How many know that's a great reason to bring somebody to church, man? If someone is sick, they ought not feel like if they go to church, they're going to hear unbelief about healing. You will not hear that here. Bring them to Jesus. Glory to God. And even if it's not a quote, healing service, we will pray for healing for anybody, anytime, anywhere. There's actually an ongoing prayer email that we have going just for these kinds of things. They recognized him. How many know the world should recognize him? Christians and churches, people of God ought to look different, ought to sound different than the rest of the world. Hallelujah. Expectation is a huge word. And why do we expect? Because we know him. Right? They instantly thought, they weren't even thinking of themselves. They were like, let's go find all those people that we know that are sick and just... They might have had, maybe somebody's got a bum knee or a sore wrist or this or that, but that guy is about to die. Bring him to Jesus. Somebody say, bring him to Jesus. And we got to be in the practice of bringing ourselves to him. Hallelujah, right? So they ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. This is why we have signs outside. We're not hiding in this building. It's why we have a website and social media so people can hear there's a church. Amen. There's people there. They're going to be talking about Jesus, and there could be miracles. There could be deliverance, all this kind of stuff. I had a guy recently ask me, do you know of a good deliverance ministry somewhere around? I got a guy that's got some issues. And the not so bright thing was I had to think a minute. Gosh, maybe this guy, maybe. And finally, the next day, I texted him. I was like, hey, we believe that here. Bring him to church. Bring him to church, right? Why? Because bringing him to church is bringing him to Jesus. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. So they brought them to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And this is the beauty right here. As many as touched him were made well. Glory to God. Now, how do we touch him right now? He's not physically standing here. Well, you got a pastor. You got other believers that can lay hands in agreement. You got your Bible. You've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You don't have to call God down from the heavens. He's living on the inside of us. So that literally means healing is living on the inside of me. Glory to God. So it's more about just getting into the Word, meditating on, and when we meditate on the Word, what are we building? The Word Shelley was talking about. Expectation. Because if all we listen to are the symptoms that are about, that's what I love about the God prescription. Dr. Avery Jackson talks about we are a tripart person. Spirit, soul, and body. So usually the sickness resides in what? The body. That reserves two-thirds of us that are available to fight it. And greater is he who's in me, the Bible says, than he that's in the world. So we get into the spirit and really the battle, I believe, church, and I think we've find references to this in the Word. The battlefield is in the area of the soul. The soul is like the bridge between spirit and body. So what do they do in wars? There's a great old movie we watched. I can't remember the name of it, where they blow the bridge up. That's a great one, too. That's a great one, too, Saving Private Ryan. But this one is like in the bridge over River Kwai. Yeah. Why were they blowing up the bridge? To keep the military from crossing over, right? So the devil, where is he going to attack first? He's going to attack in the realm of the mind. Because your spirit man is sealed by the Holy Ghost. That's why someone could get saved and never live for Jesus a day of their life, and they'll go to heaven because they got saved. They'll have problems. They'll have issues. But man, you are sealed by the Holy Ghost. Right? But those who will press into the Word and take captive our own thoughts in the realm of our own minds, man, the spirit realm now becomes this powerful resource through the area of the soul and the mind that can literally bring heaven to earth. Glory to God. Amen. So we got to do what? Protect the bridge. We got to guard the bridge. And if the devil has tried to bomb it, attack it, rebuild the bridge. The Holy Ghost will help us. Studying the Word helps us. Listening to preaching helps us. Being in church helps us. And man, I'll tell you what. It's a war. It's a battle. But the glorious thing is, the battle has already been won. Jesus has already won the war, right? We are to occupy till he comes. Amen. And I love how Andrew Womack says, it's really simple, but it's not easy. This does require effort on our part. Not effort to be saved, but effort to, you know, press in to the things God has for us. Because there's, I don't know if you noticed, but there's a lot of clamoring voices in the world now. A lot of distractions out there. I do enjoy watching football. I might have watched some this weekend, and I may be watching more today. But it does not take the place of God's word in my life. There are times, if there's like a lot of football going on, I'll just mute it, have it on the screen, and I'll have this going in my ear. You find ways, right? It's like, you know what? That's cool, but whoever wins this game, what's it matter in the grand scheme of things? I'm interested. I like it, especially all these guys now that just praise Jesus when they win. Yeah. Got crosses on their cheeks and the Bible scriptures under their eyes. First, before I talk about how the game went, I'd just like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. So somebody say, bring him to Jesus. Bring him to Jesus. You know, 80%, Pastor George was sharing a statistic that I think it was 79% of people that start coming to church will start because someone they know invited them. Not because they were looking for it or stumbled in the door or like the pastor. It's because a family member or a friend invited them to come. Never underestimate the power of an invitation. Glory to God, right? You're going to bring a lot of awesome things into people's lives. But we're going to pray here in just a moment. But let's read a few more verses. Isaiah 53:5 in your notes there. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And somebody say, by his stripes, we are healed. And there's not an asterisk there. Right? If, da 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 da, no, it says, by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. If I are healed, then I am healed. That's why I didn't stay home today and say, well, I'm coughing a little bit. But I'm also not giving everybody great big bear hugs today either. Out of respect to you. Hallelujah. Somebody say, if I are healed, then I am healed. By the stripes of Jesus, right? Hallelujah. Exodus 15:26, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. I mean, that's his name. His name is, that's one of his redemptive names, Rapha. Healer. I pray through a list of the names of God almost every day. And there's 7 of them that he says of himself. There's many others that the Bible says or someone else names him, that kind of thing. But there's 7 that he says, I am this. And healer is one of them. So we should never forget that. And if we never forget it, it means we never accept sickness. I never accept sickness except for this one. No, 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 no. Somebody say, never accept sickness. Never. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3:7-8. I think we're gonna go on past that one. No, we'll read it. We'll read it. It's there. Do not be wise in your own eyes. That was what Naaman was doing, right? Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. This is where the Lord gives us wisdom. Lord, is there anything that I just need to stop doing? Right? If you got, you know, anxiety issues or overwhelming stress issues, the Holy Spirit might say, turn the news off, son. You're always watching the news. Stop watching the news all the time. Or something else. Your thought life, you're continually going back to these worry thoughts and these fear thoughts, and you feel like you're supposed to worry about someone in your family. You're supposed to be fearful for the... That's what I'm saying is, that is, in the Bible, that would be called evil. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. This is glorious stuff, right? I think what we're seeing here is we have a part to play in the process. Depart from evil, and healing will come. And we've got to watch out that we don't get into judging one another about issues, sickness. Steve, if you've got something going on in your body, you must be doing something evil. There must be some great hidden sin that you need. You know, we got to stay out of people's business, right? We all have the same Savior, the same healer, and he didn't call me to come fix everybody's problems, right? Steve, believe me, Steve is a full-time job. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He didn't marry me with Shelly to fix Shelly. No, no, no. She doesn't want my help anyway. Oh, she is wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. It's easy to preach about your wife when she's not in the room. That's right. But she's a wonderful woman of God. Amen. But I'll tell you what, she helps me with me a lot. Glory to God. Psalm 103, 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. And I love how Keith Moore says, all, when you really deeply study the word all, in the, you know, Hebrew, in the Greek, and it literally means all. Right? He heals all my diseases. Amen? And I've heard this taught, and I love this. Don't ever call it my high blood pressure, my cancer, my diabetes, my depression. No, 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 no. That's not yours. You are the healed. You are the healed. Hallelujah. So yes, I have this thing going on in my body. That's the fact. But the truth is, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I was made whole. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Amen and amen. In Matthew 8, 2 and 3, behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Isn't that where a lot of people are in their life? If you're willing, I know you can, but do you want to? Will you? Because this, you know, people get so into, you know, the sovereignty of God and this great, like, you know, it's like Wizard of Oz. I am the all-powerful. No, 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 no. Somebody say no, right? If you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put his hand and touched him, which is the last thing you want to do with a leper. I love this. I almost cry every time I read this story. The love of God in Jesus, right? This man is probably calling out to him. Remember the whole 6-foot thing? Or people, I remember in Costco, the guy walking around with gloves and a mask and a sign. 6-foot distance. I mean, nuts. Nutty stuff. Well, the leper, right? You are a social outcast. That thing can spread, right? And you can almost see the guy standing, Jesus, if you are willing. And Jesus probably had to walk over to him. And everyone's, oh, Jesus, whoa, let's give Jesus, you know, 5 to 7 days off by himself. No, he laid hands on the guy, and what's he say? I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, the Bible says, his leprosy was cleansed. Glory to God forever. I mean, that's the Jesus that we serve. That's the Jesus that we serve. Amen? Hallelujah. We'll leave those other scriptures for you to study. We'll close before we pray here with Mark 16, 17, and 18. And these signs will follow those who believe. See, Jesus has delegated his authority to the body of Christ. But let me direct you to the word believe. It doesn't say these signs will follow those who doubt, those who think healing passed away. No, no, no. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. Somebody say, in my name. They will cast. Oh, I wish Jesus would just do it, man. He already did it. He demonstrated to his body how to take it from here, right? In my name, they will cast out demons. That's why you can drive through Portland or wherever you're at, you see some crazy demonic manifestation happening, and you can just start praying in the Holy Ghost and binding that demon spirit in the name of Jesus. Some guy blows past you doing 155 with no license plate. That's suspicious. Instead of a curse word coming out of my mouth, how about a shalababebegeshina? Satan, I bind you. You will not hurt anybody through that driver right there. And I call him apprehended, or her apprehended. Glory to God, right? We can bind the devil. They will speak with new tongues. And sometimes a new tongue, we think about praying in tongues, but I think it also just means to some people, just hearing faith is a new tongue. What do you mean? I don't understand why you would think you should be prosperous. Why do you think God would ever be approving for you to own your home and be blessed and have a nice car and, you know, these kind of things, or be healed? To some, that's a new tongue. But these are the tongues that we speak with in the body of Christ and as people of faith, right? Also, of course, it includes praying in tongues. The Holy Ghost is for everyone who will receive him. The only prerequisite to receiving the Holy Spirit is be born again. That's it. Hallelujah. You don't want to receive the Holy Spirit if you're not born again. You'll get any other spirit but the Holy Spirit, right? They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I will recover from this. Because that's the biggest lie of the devil, I think, is I'm not going to recover from this. This thing is going to just plague me the rest of my life. I'm not going to recover. Somebody say, lie. That's a lie from the devil. And I would just say this. Lindsay, why don't you come back up to the piano again, and we'll just... You can pick any one of those songs that we just did, whichever one you're feeling. And let's just stand up on our feet. We'll close with a praise song, and we're going to close with a prayer of faith. Hallelujah. Just pray this after me. Just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha. And in the mighty name of Jesus, and by the blood of Jesus, I receive my healing today. Every sickness, every disease, the spirit of infirmity must go now. I cast you out of my body in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And I praise you and I worship you. And I thank you for being my healer. I receive you today as my healer in Jesus' name. And I expect a full manifestation and a full recovery. In Jesus' wonderful name. Just thank him and praise him this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you for being our healer. In Jesus' wonderful name. In Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody got anything that you feel like God is specifically doing in your body right now? You're feeling any difference? Any, just an opportunity to testify. Hallelujah. I know we're believing and we're receiving. And sometimes the manifestation doesn't like happen immediately, but if you're feeling anything, I love to hear about it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. There will be many testimonies. Many testimonies because you've already said it. You've already said it. And we receive that fullness of the healing power of God in our lives. In Jesus' wonderful name, in Jesus' wonderful name, somebody say amen. Amen. Amen means so be it. So be it. We take it. Miss Gloria says, take it. Somebody say, I take it. In Jesus' name. All right. Love someone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.